Okay. The Gemara continues with the structure of the menorah. Yesterday we talked about the height, and we had the table with all the different layers, or the different levels in the height of the menorah. So Amar Rav, Rav tells us that everything we said yesterday was wrong. We are at the end of the sixth line, on Chav Tes Amar Aleph, 29a. Amar Rav, Gova Shal Menorah, Tisha Tfachim. It's only 10 Tfach tall.
Mini
menorah. Correct. Forget what you said yesterday. So, Eisver, Sibi Barchia, Larav. Rav Sibi Barchia says to Rav, what are you talking about? We learned, Eben Haisalif Ne Menorah, Ubash Shalosh Malos. You had a stone in front of the menorah, and there were three steps in the stone, Shalah HaKohen Omed, Umeitiv Es Haneros. And he had to stand on it in order to Meitiv Es Haneros. Meitiv, there's some debate in the Rishon, and Meitiv is either to clean it out, or maybe to clean it out in light to the menorah. We generally understand Meitiv to clean out the lamps. But the point is, we're assuming that you're standing on this stone out of necessity. And so, if it's only 9 tefach high, right, Ramosha's classic tefach is 3.6 inches. So, you know, if the menorah is only less than 3 feet high, right, what are you standing on a stone for?
I'm a 6 tefach, right? So
yes.
The person is 2 high considered, so they'd
right.
be taller than it. So why would he
So, Amarlei, exactly. So, Amarlei, Simiat. I'm going to give you a bunch of explanations for Simiat, but for now we'll just say that as Rashi says, Bitmiat, an expression of shock. Simi, you're asking me this question. Kikamina misfaskanim ulamala. I'm talking about from where the branches start to fork from the menorah and up. It's 9 tefach. But you have that whole section below it. If you have the sheet from yesterday, if you remember what it looked like, you had a lot of tefachim before you even hit that point. So it is a rather high menorah. On this question of simiat, so Rashi in Nida and in Bechoros offers a whole bunch of different explanations for this. Rashi in Nida notes that Rav's son is Rabbi Chia. So he suggests that Rav Simi Bar Chia is Rav's grandson. And it's an expression of love for his grandson. See me, my grandson asked me this question. On the other hand, Rashi Nida quotes another view that says that it's because Rav always looked down as an act of tznius. He would always look down, and therefore he didn't actually know for sure who was asking him questions. So he said, "Oh, see me, is that you?" The problem with that explanation is that it only appears in the Gemara regarding Rav Simi. There's no one else whom Rav addresses that way. He certainly has other discussions with people. We never find this language. He also mentions that some say it's because Rav Simi was known for his sharp replies. The Gemara in Tanis has someone davening, saying, "Hashem, please save me from the embarrassment of Rav Simi." So he's saying, "Simi, you're known for asking such sharp questions." The problem is that that's Rav Simi Bar Ashi, and this is Rav Simi Bar Chia. So Rashi throws that out as well. And then Rashi in Bechoro says, "I'm simply surprised that he can't figure out the answer for himself. Obviously, the answer is it's 9 tefach from the branches and upward. So I'm surprised that he's asking me this question." Yeah, right. So that's simiat. In any case, where we now find out that Rav agrees with our calculation of the height of the menorah, and therefore we can move on to another problem with the menorah, specifically a pasuk we don't understand. Ksiv, the pasuk says, "Va'perach va'neros va'melkachayim zav hu michlos zav." Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, he says the perach on the menorah, meaning the menorahs that Shlomo made, as well as the lamps themselves at the top, as well as the tongs that they used, were all made of zav, michlos zav. So the Gemara wants to know, my michlos zahav. What are michlos of zahav? I noted there on your sheet that if you look at the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim itself, Rashi there says mizukak, refined, which the Radak supports with the word kalil, michlos like kalil. On the other hand, Radak himself suggests michlos is a language of kli. It's an expression of kli, like klei zav, michlo zav. But that's not what we're going to say here. Rav Ami says, he says, shekilso l'chol zav sagur shel Shlomo, bless you. It's like an expression of vayichulu. The idea is that it completed all of the zahav sagur of Shlomo. Rashi explains Zahav Sagur, quoting the Gemara in Yuma, where they talk about the different types of gold. He says, "Shevishah Shemochren Oso Nisgaros Kolachanuyos Shemochren Es Hazav." That shuts down the market. Everybody suddenly wants that type of gold once that gold is available on the market. It's the finest, purest, most refined gold. Dom Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, as Rav Yehuda said, citing Rav, Eser Menoros Asa Shlomo B'chol Achas V'Achas Hevila Elef Kikar Zav. He makes 10 Menoros. Each one he uses 1,000 Kikar of gold for. Now we learned yesterday that he have to use a Kikar of gold. So what do you mean he used 1,000 for each? V'chnisuhu Elef Pa'amim L'kur V'hemidu Al Kikar. He put it into the kiln 1,000 times, and each time it was reduced and dross was removed until there was only a Kikar of gold left. So he says, really? Is that true? Can you really do that? Ini vaksiv v'chol klei mashke. First of all, one question. Actually, they have two questions. This is the first question. Vaksiv v'chol klei mashke Hamelach Shlomo zahav. All the kelim that Shlomo Hamelach used were made of gold. V'chol klei beis yar halavanon zahav sagur, and all the kelim of the beis hamikdash, beis yar halavanon, we call the beis hamikdash levanon, were also made of zahav sagur. Were made of this pure gold. Ein kesef nechshav bimei Shlomo l'meuma. Silver was nothing in Shlomo's day because they had so much gold. End of quote. But the point is that it says that the kalim that he's using in his house are all made of gold. How could you say kilso l'chol zav shamelach Shlomo that it used up all the gold of Shlomo? To which his answer is zahav sagur kamrin, and you have to read carefully. Rav Ami said it concluded all of his zahav sagur. Right? He used that up on the clay shavis, like it says in the pasuk itself, for the clay based yar halavanon. The gold he had in his house was generic gold. To which they ask, Umi chaser kulei hai. Now we get the second question. The second question is, would the gold really be reduced to such a level where it's going down each time you put it in the kiln, it's losing a kikar, to go from 1,000 kikar to be 1 kikar? Umi chaser kulei hai. V'atanya, don't you know the brisa? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Maisa v'aisa menoras beis hamikdash yisera al shamosha b'dinar zav kur dikini. Someone evidently was weighing the menorah, and he discovered that the menorah in the beis hamikdash was just a single gold dinar kur dikini, of this place, or kid kurdinki, if you follow the Shita Mikubetzis' edition. But it was a little bit out of whack. It wasn't quite a kikar of gold. They put it into the kiln 80 times. Then he do al kikar. And then it was only a kikar. So the point is, you had to put it in 80 times just to lose this little coin's weight. How could it be? You could go from 1,000 kikar of gold down to 1 kikar of gold. To which his answer is Kevan de Koi Koi, because first it had been refined like that in Shlomo's day. Once you did this 1,000 refinements in the kiln, it would be very hard to refine it any further. So that's the idea. How it is that you went from being of the proper weight of kikar to suddenly being a little bit over, I don't understand. I don't understand how the menorah should not be able to gain weight. Right? It should be able to lose weight, theoretically. Erosion, someone touches it or whatever. I don't understand how it gains weight. And yet, that seems to be what we're describing, because we're assuming it's the same menorah that Shlomo had already refined. It's not a new menorah that's made that has the wrong weight. So I don't know how your menorah gained weight. It's pretty careful with its weight. I don't know. But that's what we're being presented with here. I haven't found an answer to that. Amr of Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amr of Yonasan. Now we learn about the classic idea that Hashem demonstrates to Moshe how to make the, or not how to make, but what the menorah is supposed to look like. The pasuk says, "Al haMenorah haTahara," upon the pure menorah. So what does that mean, the pure menorah? Sheyardu ma'aseha mimakom tahara. Its workings came from a place of tahara, as Rashi explains, min hashamayim her'u lamoshe, her'uhu lamoshe, l'neged ha-menorah. Or va'asa k'negda, you see the addition in the margin, that Hashem demonstrated to him what the menorah should look like. That's how he knew. That's what tahara means. It came from a pure place. So the Gemara says, really? That's what the word tahara means? In that case, Elameyata ala Shulchan HaTahor, when the Torah says on the Shulchan HaTahor, right there in the same section there, that's Shayardu Masav Mimakom Tahor, that's Hashem shows Moshe how to make the Shulchan. Is that really true? We don't have any such Misara. Ela Tahor Mikhlal Shu Tameh. What Tahor means is that it could become Tameh, right? As Rashi says, Mekabel Tuma, and it's teaching me, but this is Tahor. That it didn't become Tamei. So Hachanami, the same thing should be true regarding the menorah. Tahor Mechlal Shehi Tameya. That's what Tahor should mean. To which he says, you can't mean that. because it only makes sense to say that regarding the Shulchan. Bishlam ahasam kedresh lakish. Regarding the Shulchan, it makes sense to say Tahor, and it didn't become Tame, because it could have become Tame. De'amar resh lakish, as resh lakish said, Mai dechziv ala shulchan atahor, michlal shu Tame. Right, Al Shulchan Atahor indicates it could have become Tameh. He says, what do you mean? It's a wooden kli, and it's made just to sit. Rashi says, She'enu mitaltel, it isn't moved. The Mefarshim ask, well, what about the fact that it is moved when you carry the Mishkan, when you transport the Mishkan, but it doesn't have the status of a Shulchan when it's being transported? That may be the answer. The kli ta'asu l'nachas einu mekabel tuma. A wooden kli, which is made to sit in one place and not to be moved, does not receive Tuma, Rashi notes. So I don't understand. The Gemara says, Ella, rather, the beginning of the fifth white line, the answer is they picked it up when people came for Aliyah L'Regel. They would show them the bread and say to them, see how beloved you are before Hashem. My chibaschem, what exactly is this beloved character of the Jews? Kidr b'shua ben Levi, azir b'shua ben Levi, ta damar b'shua ben Levi, nes gadol naseb alechem upon him. A great miracle occurred with alechem upon him, siluko kisiduro. When it was removed, it was like when it was set up. Shanamar, as the Pasuk says, lasum lechem cham b'yom hilakho, to put hot bread on the day that the bread was removed, meaning that it was hot when you removed it. That's what we're saying now, just like it was hot when you initially placed it. There's some question as to how exactly observers would be able to see that. So the Ezer Mekoman quotes a few different views, among them that people saw the hevel that was rising from it. They would see the steam rising off of the bread, like, you know, it distorts the air a little bit over something when there's steam rising. Alternatively, the Kohanim saw it and they told the people, and that really you were just picking it up to say the Kohanim are telling you about this. This is what they're talking about. Yeah, but still, from this distance, how can you see that it's hot? I mean, I don't even know how you can see from the top from a foot away. How can you? What are you seeing?
How can you see inside the table?
Right, so there's a discussion about the Mizbeach being off to the side, and therefore when you picked it up, remember you have the height advantage, so everybody's able to see. No, you're not behind the parochas. You shift the parochas off to the side. The Shulchan does not have a base cable, but there's the Zer that goes up. Yeah. I was wondering also about the Tzipwe. It's Mitzupa Zahav, whether the gold Tzipwe should make it able to receive Toma. I looked into it a little bit, but I didn't have a lot of time yesterday to do that. This Daf, you can look into forever.
It's not clean, no?
There's so much more on this Daf. Sorry? It's not a Kli? Sure it is. The Zer that goes around it. The Tzitz is not a Kli. That sits on the Kohen's forehead. The tzitz doesn't have to be able to become tamei. We're just talking about the shulchan. Yeah, yeah.
But with the shulchan, what's the dimensions? It's no more considered a clay because of its portability.
It's about intent. Asul anachas or not. Beyond that, you have to be able to, like, it's like bor sfino alasandri, you know, holding 40 sa'ah. Yeah, has to be able to hold 40 sa'ah. Yeah, that's not germane. That's by a clay kibble. So. So they didn't. They did not do that, no. I don't believe they did that, no. So, I mean, there's a lot more we could say about this, but there's so much more you could say about this whole daf. Ella, rather, so he says, Tahor makes sense regarding the Shulchan.
Could it mean they actually took the Lechem after they've changed it and brought it out?
Right, so they do discuss that. They discuss that, but no, it doesn't seem to be so, because you're elevating the table, Davka. When you're dealing with the menorah, of course it could become tame. Klei matchus ninu, it's a metal klei. You klei matchus mekablin toma, metal kelim receive toma. So that's not what hamenorah tahora means. Ella sheyardu masam imakom tahara. Rather, it means that Moshe was shown from Shemayim how to make the menorah. Tanya. Second of four lessons within this section. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Aron shel esh, v'shulchan shel esh, u'menorah shel esh, yardu min ha-shamayim. Yet the Aron, the Shulchan, and the menorah of fire brought down from Shemayim for Moshe to see. V'ra, Moshe v'asa k'mosa, Moshe saw what they looked like, and he made the kelim like them. Apparently, Bezalel hears it from Moshe. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, u're va'asei, see and do, kisav nisam, asher atamar ebahar. Like their forms that you were shown on the mountain. Parenthetically, kisav nisam should be bisav nisam. It's a base, not a kaf. But this pasuk appears right after the Torah describes these three items. The Aron, the Shulchan, and the Menorah are in that perek in Sefer Shmos, and that's what in Parshas Truma, and that's what it's referring to. And that's the idea. Tosfos asks, what about the Mishkan? It says, Eis Tavnis HaMishkan. But there it doesn't mention a vision on Har Sinai. Here it says, Asher HaReis HaBahar, that you were shown on the mountain. Ela Me'ata, so the Gemara asks, V'akemosoas HaMishkan, K'mishpato Asher HaReis HaBahar, Achinami. So the same thing for the Mishkan. It says, Asher HaReis HaBahar, you were shown on the mountain. Yeah, but HaChaksib K'mishpato. Hasam Ksiv Kisav Nisam. There's a difference between Kamishpato and Kisav Nisam in their form is really what we're picking up on. It's the form plus the mountain. Amar Rechia Bar Abba Amar Biyochanan, third within the set of four, Gavriel Chagur K'min Psik Yahaya. The Malach Gavriel wore a belt, Rashi explains, like what the craftsmen wear to hold up their tunics that they doesn't drag and doesn't, and the sleeves and the fabric don't get caught in what you're working on. So he's wearing a belt like that to demonstrate he's acting as an artisan. V'hera Lola Moshe Ma'aseh Menorah. And he showed Moshe not just the shape, but how to make the menorah. D'chsiv V'zeh Ma'aseh HaMenorah. Because the pasuk says, this is the deed of the menorah. So someone has to show Moshe the actual actions. That's Gabriel's job. Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. We have also a brace in the Yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael. Shlosha Devar Mayukashin Lola Moshe at Shehera Lola Kodesh Baruch Hu Be'etzbal. Three things. Hashem showed Moshe because Moshe had difficulty understanding them, so Hashem shows them to Moshe with his finger, as it were. Ve'eluein, and here are the three. Menorah, V'rosh Chodesh, U'shratzim. Those are the three. Menorah, D'chziv, V'zeh. That's the key word, is Zeh. V'zeh Ma'aseh Menorah. This is how you make the menorah. Rosh Chodesh, D'chziv, HaChodesh, Hazeh, Lachem, Rosh Chodeshim. He shows Moshe what the moon should look like when we declare Rosh Chodesh. Of course, the moon doesn't look like anything when you declare Rosh Chodesh, because the moon's not visible. Nonetheless, the Shratzim Dechsev Vizelachem HaTamei. This is what is Tamei, and it lists the Shmona Shratzim. The Yeshom Ma'afach Shchita. Some say Shchita as well. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, Vizeh Asher Tasalam is Beach. Rashi explains Lohay Maven Meichani Mugremes. The issue of Hagrama. When we get to Chulin, you'll see the five different psulim of Shchita. One of them is Hagrama. If you shecht and it goes outside of the proper area, outside of the cartilage rings, so he showed Moshe what that means, exactly how that's supposed to work. Tosfos asks the question about not including the list of non-kosher creatures that they mention in Chulin. Where we're told also Hashem shows Moshe which ones are kosher and which ones are not, but he says that's different because it says Zos over there instead of Zeh. He also asks about the Chatzin Machzis HaShekel, where we're told Hashem shows Moshe the half shekel, and his answer is that's different because that wasn't the issue of Moshe having difficulty. It's Moshe wanting to know what coin we use, what type of coin. So Hashem shows him Matbeah Shalish, it's this coin that you're looking for. The Shita Mekubetzes answers that what Moshe didn't understand is different. Moshe doesn't understand about the shekel is how it is that such a small coin could atone for the egel. That's what Hashem is demonstrating to Moshe. It's not like here where Moshe doesn't understand and Hashem has to actually physically show him something to see. But this idea of Zeh in general being something you point to shows up also in the Gemara at the end of Tanis, right? They talk about in the future being Machol Shel Tzadikim and everyone pointing to Hashem, because the pasuk says Zeh Hashem Kivinu Lo. So Zeh in general means this. You actually identify something specific. Okay, that concludes the menorah discussion, and now we move on to the mezuzah. Shtei parshiyos sheba mezuzah me'akvot zu et zu. You need both Shema ve'ahavta and V'hayim Shamoa in the mezuzah. V'afilu ksav echad me'akvan, and every ksav, every writing is important, is required for this. So the Gemara now is going to take us through a whole set of rules about what you need to write when you write this mezuzah, as well as potentially tefillin and sefer Torah. We'll see a little bit about that. I gave you the list here on your sheet of which items we're talking about. So the first one is the Kutzo Shel Yud. The Gemara says, Pshita, of course everything is required. We're assuming you mean every letter. So the Gemara says, of course, Uksavtam, as Rashi notes, Ksivatam, it has to be a perfect writing. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Rav Yehuda says, citing Rav, Lo Nitzricha El La Kutzo Shel Yud. It's there to teach me about the Kutzo Shel Yud. Machlokis as to what exactly this means. Rashi says it means the leg of the Yud. Tosfos says, of course you have to have the leg of the Yud. If you don't have the leg of the Yud, it's just a dot. Right? What is it if no leg of the Yud? So Tosfos says it's at the top of it. When you make the Yud properly, the top is supposed to bend forward. Not the little bit on top, that shubchik that sticks up. No. It's that it bends before you get to that shubchik. And the Gemara is going to say that on Amud Beis. That's what Tosfos says. The Mordechai Paskin's in this, that you're makbid for both. You have to have the leg, and you also have to have the bend. So that's what we're requiring.
The top, yeah. And rush the top. Rush the bottom. The bottom, no. Rush the bottom.
Rashi says it's the leg.
The leg. And
Rashi
the top.
And Tosfos says it's the top being bent.
And rush is the top.
No, but he doesn't mean the part that sticks up. He means the curve, the fact that it bends down.
I have a rabbinical term, and rush. The rush.
The rush. Oh, the rush. Yes, the rush is a different shita. That's correct. For every single item that we're going to see here, there's loads more we could, many more shitas we could bring, but we'll never get through the daf. So he says, Vanami pshita, but isn't it obvious that you require that too? Elo lechem the idach Rav Yehuda Marav. You're right, it's the other lesson from Rav Yehuda citing. Rav Dam Rav Yehuda Marav, kol os she'ein gevil mukaf lame'aber u'chosea psula. You have to have hekev gevil. You have to have parchment surrounding all the parts of the letter. Now Rashi here makes a note on this and on the Yerecho issue next, that this is specifically, he says here, mezuzah and tefillin, or later he's going to say just tefillin. The Mordechai says, I don't understand. The Marsha says, I don't understand. The Mordechai says it applies to all, including Sefer Torah. And he says, I'll prove it to you. The word that Rashi uses for the parchment is gevil. And gevil is specifically Sefer Torah. So so he says it has to be talking about, Sefer Torah. Right, so we'll have a whole discussion. It's going to come up here as well, I believe. But the point is, he says this is Sefer Torah as well. You require Hekev Gevil. The letter has to be surrounded by parchment from all sides. There's a lot of discussion about that as well, but we're going to go fight through here. Amar Asiyan Bar Nidbach, or Asiyan Bar Nidbach, Mishmeid Rav Yehuda, Nikav Tocho Shel Hay, Kasher, Yurecho Pasul. If the inside of the hay has a hole in it, it is still kosher. A hole in the toch of the hay. Rashi says toch means the small leg of the hay, or alternatively, the blank parchment that's inside the hay. If there's a hole in the parchment there, it's still kosher. Yerecho, the leg, is pasul. And yerech, the leg, means the long leg of the hay, the right leg of the hay. So then he says pasul. Amar Rabbi Zera says, "Ladidi mefresh alimi neid Rav Huna." It was taught to me from Rav Huna, the name of Rav Huna. Rabbi Yaakov Amar Ladidi mefresh alimi neid Rav Yehuda. Alternatively, from Rav Yehuda, Nikav Tocho Shalei Kasher. The Toch, the small hay, the small letter of the hay, or the blank parchment, that's still kasher if it has a hole. Yerecho, but the leg in Nishtayer Bo Kishir Os Ketana Kasher. It needs the shear of the measure of a small letter remaining, which we understand to be the letter Yud. That width of a yud to remain. Otherwise, if you don't even have that, vim lav, puzzle. It's no good. Agra.
These
four rules in the Sefer Torah too? Yes. Despite the fact that Rashi mentions tefillin and tefillin and mezuzah, it is Sefer Torah also according to the Mordechai.
What's the minimum for the leg like yud?
The minimum width of a height.
Right,
correct. But it's not dealing with height. It's dealing with where you have a hole in the parchment so that you've lost some of the width of the leg. Agra. Right, and that's and the Mordechai and the Marasha don't know what he's talking about. They say no. They say it's Sefer Torah also. Right. Agra chamua de Rabbi Abba, ifsikalei kara dehei de ha'am benikva. The word ha'am, as it appeared there, and Rashi again says in the tefillin, and here we get the word ha'am, which actually does appear there. In this story, the leg of the hay has a hole in it. Asla kamed Rabbi Abba. He comes to Rabbi Abba. Amar late, to which he replied, "In mishtayer bo kashir os ketana kosher. If it still has the width of a yud, there kosher v'im lav pasul. And if not, it's no good." Rami Bar Tamri dehu chamua de Rami Bar Dikuli. Rami Bar Tamri, the father-in-law of Rami Bar Dikuli. Alternatively, Rami Bar Tamri, who was Rami Bar Dikuli. Either way, I hope the wife knew. Ifsikalei kara devav devayaharog benikva. Again, the word vayaharog, also in tefillin, the avarog Hashem called b'chor beret tzayim. So the leg of the vav was split with a hole, or was eroded with a hole. Asla kamed rabbi zera. Amalei zil aisi yenuka delochachim v'lo tipesh. So it gives you a different answer here. You're not looking for the yud here. And by the way, here I think it is that it's the height of it that's lost, because your hole is interrupting it. So your issue is the height. He says, bring me a kid, who's not particularly knowledgeable, but on the other end, he has to be able to read. But the point is, as Rashi says, that he wouldn't know how to read the letter and figure out what it was from a little bit of it. They're not even discussing the word. They talk about the letter itself. And the point is, you want someone who would only read this right if it was a fully formed letter. If he reads it as vayaharog, then it's kasher. But if not, yeharegu upasel. If not, the vav isn't there. It's a yud. And the rule for when we use a tinok and when we don't basically is, if it's a letter which is either nothing or a valid letter, we don't bring in a kid. We bring in the kid if it's something that could look like one letter or could look like another letter, and we need to be able to tell them apart. And what we actually do is we cover up the other letters around it because we don't want them figuring it out from context, and we have them look at it. It doesn't have to be a kid per se. The point is the level of knowledge that he's going to bring to it. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So Rav Yehuda says, citing Rav, B'shoa Sha'ala Moshe Lamorom, Mitzvah LaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheyoshev V'Kosar Ksarim La'Osios. We now move into the next element of the Ksiva, which is the Tagin, the crowns. So we get to the Tagin. There was something I wanted to say about the split leg of the Vav. Only that the language that was used is puzzle. It says puzzle singular, suggesting that if it's in the Tefillin Shel Rosh, the Rashbash says, and you have multiple parchments, each one with each parsha on it, if one of the parshios is invalidated like this, only that parsha is invalid. The other ones are still fine. As opposed to Tefillin Shel Yad, where they're all on the same cloth, you have one of these psulim, you can't fix it. You're not allowed to go back and fix it. You have to write a whole new cloth, and that's it. Okay. So Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, B'shash Ala Moshe Lamar Mitzala Kadosh Baruch Hu Sheyoshev V'Kosher Ksarim La'Osios. Moshe ascends to Shamayim. He sees Hashem tying crowns onto the letters. Amar Lefanav, he says before, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Mim Akev Al Yodcha. Me here does not mean who. The people read this as who all the time. It's incorrect. Me in Aramaic is Ma. And what he's saying is, Ma, Ma'akev al Yodcha. What is it that is a requirement here for you? What is this? Why do crowns on the letters matter? So Amar Lo, and Hashem replies, Adam Echad Yesh. There is a certain person, Sha'as Elios Besov Kamadoros. He's coming at the end of a lot of generations. Vakiva ben Yosef Shmo, right? Rabbi Akiva. Sha'asiv Lidrosh, Al Kokotz, Vikotz, Tilin, Tilin, Shahalachos. Every single point of the letters he is going to analyze and interpret mountains upon mountains, hills upon hills of halachos. Parenthetically, of course, Rabbi Akiva being a descendant of Gerim. Apparently, this was known in advance that there was going to be a Ger within the family. All the Chira Chafshis questions can be checked at the door. So, Amar Lefanav, Ribono Shel Olam, Harehuli. So, Moshe says, wow, I want to see this man. Amar Lo, Chazor L'Acharecha. He says, okay, turn around. Go back. Halach V'yashav B'sof Shmona Shuros. Another edition has 10 Shuros. He goes and he sits in the back of after 8 layers of students, after 8 benches. And he didn't understand what in the world Rabbi Akiva was talking about. He gets a chance to sit in Rabbi Akiva's shir. He doesn't understand Rabbi Akiva's shir. Tashash Kocho. And he feels very weak. He's very upset. They reached a certain point. Amr lo Talmid of the students say to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi, minayim lecha. Rabbi, how do you know these things? Where did you get these things from? Amr lo halacha l'moshe misinai. He says, that I'm not going to make a drasha for. That's just halacha l'moshe misinai. Ah, Nisyashva Data. Moshe is calmed down. He says, okay, at least I still mean something. That they need to quote me. Chazer Balav Ne'agadosh Baruch Hu. But Moshe now goes back to Hashem. Amar Lefanav. Amar Lefanav. He says, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe. Well, it's hard to recognize Moshe. He hadn't seen the statue.
He hadn't recognized. I'm saying Moshe Rabbeinu didn't recognize what Rabbi Akiva was saying. So
yeah.
Be Allah Moshe Messina. No.
What he didn't understand was the first part.
Yeah.
He didn't understand the first part, the things that he was doing from the crowns. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So it's interesting to know that there's no halachas left over from
so, hang on, just, there are. Hang on 1 minute. Amar Lefana, Ribono Shel Olam, Yesh Chadam Kazeb Atanosin Torah Al Yodi. He says, why are you using me to give the Torah? Use him. Use his neshama to give the Torah. It doesn't mean wait for Rabbi Akiva to show up. But use his neshama. He should be me. So, Amar Lo, Hashem replies, Shtok. Be quiet. Kach olav machshava lefanai. This is my plan. This is what I want to have happen. So a couple of different explanations for what that means. One is the Otzer Sichos Tzadikim, quoted in the Megillas Hashas, says the things that Moshe knows are in my machshava, but I haven't revealed them yet. I haven't revealed them yet, which is why Moshe is unaware of them, if you take it that Moshe is unaware of them. Alternatively, he says, Rabbi Akiva is greater in the Olam HaMachshava, but not in the Olam HaMasa. The Olam B'Machshava, he has ascended in Machshava before me, but Moshe, your deeds warrant that you be the one to give the Jews the Torah. That's the Ma'ori Or, also quoted in the Megillas Hashas. Amar Lefanov, Ribono Shel Olam, Harisani Tarasa, you showed me his Torah, Harini Scharo, show me the reward he's going to get for this. Amar Lo, Hashem says, Chazor L'Acharecha, go back. Chazor L'Acharav Rosh Shoklin B'Saro B'Makolin, he sees his meat being sold, his flesh being sold in the market by the Romans. Amar Lefanov, Ribono Shel Olam, Zu Torah, V'Zu Scharo, what in the world are you doing? That's the reward. Amar Lei, Shtok, Kachalav Machshav Lefana, he says, that's in my plan also. Which the Ercha Yoshua says, Hashem planned in his Machshava, the Gemara says, to create the world with Din. So he says, that's the idea. That was my Machshava, to create the world with Din, and that's the Din that I prescribe. Another alternative is, the Paris Menachem says, it's Rabbi Akiva's Machshava. Remember we said Rabbi Akiva was always thinking, when will I fulfill B'chol Nafshecha? So, Allah B'Machshava Lefanai. He ascended in his Machshava that he wanted this fate, that's what he got. Wow. Again, there are mountains of things we could say on this. We don't need the target. We have mountains to say on this. Amar Rava Shiva Osios Tzvichos Shlosha Ziyunin. He says there are seven letters which require three crowns. Ve'eluhen, and these are the seven Shatnez Gates. That's your acronym. Those seven letters. Tosus has a discussion about what the crowns look like. You can see three different versions if you look at the pictures of the letter Zion and the Tosus Shatnez Gates. We generally follow the third. Yeah, because it's just it's a phrase. Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says, Chazina lehu lesifri davkani devei rav, dechatri lehu legage deches vetalu lekare dehei. There's a lot of debate as to what this means. But he says, I saw the precise sofrim in the yeshiva of Rav. First of all, chatri lehu is like the chatotra of a camel. Yeah. They make like a hump, the roof of the chet. Rashi says no. Rashi says what it means is that the end of the top of the chet curls up. The left side. Tosfos, though, says what we are familiar with, it's the arch in the middle, which works because the Gemara in Shabbos Kufdal that talks about splitting the ches to make two zions, when we talk about the laws of Ksiva, that works if you do Tosfos' version of it. You split the hump on top, and then you're left with two zions. You can see the picture in Tosfos Dechadre. But chatri lehu legage deches, the reason why you do this to the ches, kalomar chayihu barumo shel olam, is to say Hashem lives in the heights of the world, ches and chay. What about vitalu lekare dehei, which we mentioned? What does that mean, to suspend the hay? So Rashi seems to say it means that you have a gap between the leg and the roof, which is the standard way to make the hay as far as we know. Tosfos says it's that the roof extends back the way a dalet does. You know, a dalet extends over the leg to the right side. That's also what's going on in the hay. If you see the diagram in Tosfos, it's the that little, you see the little comma that you have above the letter. That's meant to show you what he's talking about. He says the back of the roof of the hay extends over the letter. That's Talulah the Kari de Hay. And the Gemara explains, Vetalulah the Kari de Hay, we do this to the Hay, Kedibah mine Rabbi Yudin Nisiyah me Rabbi Ami. As Rabbi Yudin Nisiyah asked Rabbi Ami, my dichsiv, what does it mean when the Pasuk says, Bitchu Bashem Adayad, Kibakah Hashem Tzur Olamim? What does that mean? Trust in Hashem forever. Hashem is the maker of, or the rock of, worlds. So Amar Lei, his first answer is, Kol HaTolah B'tchona B'Kadosh Baruch Hu, Harei or Ho Velo, Machse B'Olam HaZeh Olam HaBa. His first answer is to associate B'tchu and Olamim. To say that if you trust Hashem, Hashem will protect you in this world and in the next. So Amar Lei, to which he replied, that's great, but it wasn't my question. Ana Hachi Kaka Sheli, this was my question. Maishna dichsiv bika veloksiv ka. Why does it say in yud hey is the tzur olamim? It should have just said Hashem is tzur olamim. Kedidarsh Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Eloi. It's like Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Eloi taught. Elu shnei olamos shabar kadosh baruch hu. Hashem created two worlds, this world and the next. Echad behei veechad biyud. One with a hey and one with a yud. Then Rashi says Hashem split his name, and from each letter he took three drops and he made emayim, esh, and avir. That's Rashi. B'chol olam kulo. And he tells you, look in the Sefer Yetzirah if you want to know more. But one with a hey and one with a yud. The ene yodeya im olam haba b'yud v'olam hazeh b'hey im olam hazeh b'yud v'olam haba b'hey. I wouldn't know which letter was for which world. Kishu Omer, Eila told us Hashemayim v'ha'aretz of this world. Behi baram, these are the chronicles of heaven and earth in this world. Behi baram, al tikre behi baram, ela behei baram. Hashem created them with the hay. Havi Omer ha'olam hazeh behei v'olam abav b'yud. This world with a hay, next world with a yud. Umnei ma nivra ha'olam hazeh behei. What's the meaning of this world being created with a hay? Mibnei shadom alach sadra, because it's like that pavilion. We talked about pavilions yesterday. It's the idea of something that's open on one side. So the hay has an opening. Shekola rotze latzeis yatze. Anybody who wants to leave is welcome to leave. The person is given the opportunity to make mistakes. Umay time atalia kare. Why is the leg suspended? Which could be Rashi's explanation, or could be Tosa's explanation. Either way, either it's the opening, the fact that the letter is hanging down, or it's at the top, is hanging back. But the idea is the hader b'tshuva ma'ailile. If a person does tshuva, there's still a way for him to hang on. Not the way people usually think. That it means you go in through the gap. But that he has an extra thing to hang on to. Although Rashi actually says that malan lei bepesach ha'elyon, because Rashi says it's the idea that the leg is suspended, so he can go back through that upper opening. Per Rashi or per Tosas, he can hang on to the back of the roof. V'la'ayel b'ach, why doesn't he just come back in the gap in the bottom? That's a lot easier. No, lo mistaya milsa, that won't work. You can't go back the way you came. Kidder Reish Lakish, as Reish Lakish said, the Amar Reish Lakish, might yachsiv in the late Timu Yolitz, v'la'anavim yitain chen, Hashem will mock the mockers, and Hashem will give favor to the anavim, those who are humble. Balitar, mistaya nosa, v'balitami poschilo. Hashem will help you if you try to be mitayer, but Hashem will also open up the opportunity to fall out if you come to create tumah. So therefore, you need to do more for tshuva. You need to reverse the process. You can't just go back the way you came. A person should understand, for tshuva it isn't enough just to do tikkun hachet. More is going to be required. It isn't enough just to repair what you did wrong. Umaytama islay taga, and what's with the little crown there on the hay? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, im chozer ba'ani kosher lo kesher. If he will indeed repent, I will make a crown on his behalf. And that's the crown, meaning the little curl up there that you have on the hay. And why is Olam Haba created with a yud? Which at first glance sounds like there are few tzaddikim, but the Maharsha explains that tzaddikim who are there shrink themselves, they reduce themselves, they're not arrogant. That's the idea. Like the letter yud doesn't mean that it's a small number, it's small in size. Exactly, it's humility. Which we mentioned before, that the yud arcs down. Mipnei shetzadikim shavo kafuf rasheim mipnei maasein shein domen zelazeh shein domen zelazeh, that their heads are bent because each one has a different way in which he excels, and therefore each one is embarrassed before the other and says, "Wow, he's so much greater than I am." Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef then says, "Hani tarti mili amar Rav bisfarim." Rav taught two lessons regarding safras. We'll get to one today. The Vitanya Tiyuvtei. But I have a brisa that contradicts each of them. Chada, first of all, Hada Amar Rav Sefer Torah sheyesh bo shtei ta'uyos b'chol daf v'daf yitakein shalosh yiganeis. That if a Sefer Torah has two errors in each daf, daf to me sounds like it's the full cloth section, not just the amud, the column. But I can't prove that that's true. But he says if it has two errors, say fix them. If it has three errors already, ye gunnies, you have to hide it away. But Vitanya Tiyuvtei, I have a brisa that contradicts it. Shalosh yitakein, three, fix. Arba ye gunnies, four, you hide away. Tana imesh bo daf achas shlema matzelas al kulo. And then the brisa says that if you have one daf that's all good, there's some debate as to whether that means that you were able to fix because there were only two, or whether you mean that it's entirely perfect, matzelas al kulan, then all of them I'm willing to save and to correct. What are we talking about here? So Amar Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta Mishmei de Rav, he'll get the explanation. It was said in the name of Rav, v'hu d'chsiv rubei d'sif rashapir. First of all, we'll only say you accept it if most of the sefer is written properly. Amar le Abayi le Rav Yosef. So Abayi says to Rav Yosef, I isbehu daf shalosh tehuyos mai. What if that daf has three errors? Then what will you do? Will I say that that daf is considered to be fine, or do I say, I'm sorry, me, I'm reading out of Rashi, Shlema Bli Tolus. When you say you need to have one that is Shlema, that means without any errors, or does that mean Shlema Midala Ta'uyos, free of four mistakes, but you fixed the three that were there? That was the question I was referring to before. Amar Lei, Ha'ol V'Isihilit Kunei Mitkin. He says, look, up to four errors you're allowed to fix. So, you fixed it. Now it's fine. Now it's considered Shlema. Okay, so again, just to make sure we're clear. Rav says you fix it at 2. The Bryce says you fix it at 3. And what we're now saying is, once you fix it, it's considered Shalem, and therefore the whole Sefer should be saved. Vahani Mili, assuming the majority was done right, we say here. Vahani Mili Chaseros. However, all of this only refers to Chaseros, if there are letters that were missing, and then you had to write them in. Aval Yaseros, but if you had letters that were extra, and you had to scrape them off, less lamba, then none of this is any concern. There's a Machlokas Tosfos and the Nemuka Yosef, what that means. Tosfos says that means that you scrape them off and you're okay. The Nemuka Yosef says you can leave them that way. You can actually leave them as they are. Chaseros, my time alone, what's the difference? Why is it that regarding the chaseros, we say that you can't do it? Rav Kahana, Mishum to Mechzi Kiminumor. The problem is that as you write in the letters that are missing, your Sefer Torah starts to look funny. You have different styles of writing, different levels of dark or light, and that's no good. We don't want to have a Sefer Torah that looks that way. That's my problem. You can only do that a certain number of times before it looks bad. One more line. Agra Chamud Rabbi Abba Avala Yeseres B'Sifrei. Abba Chamud Rabbi Abba had extra letters in his Sefer. Asa Kamed Rabbi Abba Amar Lelo Amar Nelo B'Chaseros Avala Yeseres Les Lanvai. He says you can do the Yeseres just fine. Just scrape them off, as Rashi and Tosfos say. And then the Gemara will go into the second statement of Rav. We'll pick up with tomorrow.